Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud Beis. We left off on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We got to the Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Ir sheyesh ba'avodas kochavim. If you have a city that has Avodah Zarah in it, and it has a Yom Ayud, it has a day of celebration for the Avodah Zarah, chutzal mutar. You're allowed to do business outside of the city. Rashi explains, of course you're allowed to do business outside of the city. It's not the city. So Rashi says, chutzal mutar lases v'lases imayoshvin chutzal ir. You're allowed to do business with the people that live outside of the city, she'ein nimshachin achar osa avodas kochavim, that you don't have to worry that they're also involved in that same avodah zarah. She'kein minag ze oved ashalom v'ze oved ashalom. The minag is that it wasn't regional avodah zarahs; it was each city had an avodah zarah, and the avodah zarah was only as influential as the city limits. It didn't go beyond that. V'yomayid shaleilu eino b'yomayid shaleilu. The yomayid of one city is not the same as the yomayid of a different city. It didn't cross over from one city to outside of that city. So therefore, anywhere outside of that city, it's going to be mutter. You don't have to worry about the Yom Ayid. Hayachutzala avodas kochavim, tocha mutter. And if the Avodah Zarah happened to be, the Yom Ayid of the Avodah Zarah happened to be outside of the city, then inside the city is totally mutter, and obviously the same svara. Mahu leilech l'sham. What about going to a city that has a Yom Ayid for an Avodah Zarah? Meaning, let's say you're not going on a business trip. You don't want to do business in the city. You stop, want to visit a friend, you want to go schmooze with somebody. You're not going for any business-related reason. Are you allowed to go to that city at all? What would be the iser of going to that city? So Rashi explains, mipnei chashad, shenira kimahalech la'ovda, that it's just an issue of a chashad, that people are going to look and say, oh, that guy's going to that city on the Yom Ayid, maybe he's gishmad and he wants to go and be Ovid Avodah Zarah. So it's going to look bad. So are you allowed to go, or do you have to worry about chashad, which is some type of maris ayin issue, that it's going to look like you're going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah? So says the Mishnah, bizman shaderech miyuchedes lo'osu makom aser. If the road that takes you into that city is a road that only takes you into that city, it's not like the city is just one of many exits on a highway, it's that road only takes you into that city, then it's going to be Asr, because then people know that you're not going anywhere else, and therefore they're logically going to assume that you're going to do Avodah Zarah in that city. V'im ha'yachol ha'halik b'lamakam achar, mutter. But if you just get on the Southern State Parkway, and, you know, exit, whatever number exit it is, happens to be that city, but there are 100 other exits, it's on the highway also, that you can go to different cities, so then it's not going to be a problem, because when people are going to see you on the highway, they're not automatically going to assume that you're going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, because they're not even automatically going to assume that you're headed to that city, and therefore it would not be a problem. Fine, so the Mishnah basically had two halachos. Number one, that the Avodah Zarah doesn't go beyond the city that it's in, and number two, in a totally separate issue, a Marisayan issue, or Chashad issue, that you don't have to worry about Chashad if it's not evident that you're going to that city. You do have to worry about chashad when it is evident that you're going to that city. Fine, says the Gemara, Hechidami Chutzala. What do we mean when we say how far outside of a city do we assume is called Chutzala, is called outside of the city in regards to the halacha that you're allowed to do business outside of the city that has Avodah Zarah? So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Mishum Rabbi Chanina Kigon Atluza Shel Aza, like Atluza Shel Aza, that's called outside of the city. Rashi says Atluza Shuk Shel Behema Kmo Itliz, even though Atluza spelled with an ayin, Itliz, which is an animal marketplace, a meat market, is where the word comes from. It's not shochtim beItliz v'mimkarim beItliz. So the meat market of Aza, which apparently was right near Aza, and Rashi says Aza ir shel plishtim v'haya ba'avodas kochavim. It was a city of plishtim that had avodah zarah v'yachutzal yishuv samach li'ir ma'od, and there was a neighborhood right outside the city, very very close by. So when it says kigon atluza shel Aza, what it means to say is someplace very, very close to the city. Even if it's just beyond the city limits, still that's called Chutzala. You don't have to go any further than that for it to be called Chutzala. Tosos is not convinced that Atluza relates to a meat market. Tosos writes of Rashbam Piresh, Atluza hu shem avodas kochavim shemichutz la'aza. Atluza is the name of an avodah zarah that happened to be outside of Aza. Va'ovnos abnei hamigrash shemichutz la'aza yom echad b'shana. And the people in the area right outside of Aza used to worship that Avodah Zarah one day a year. And the way the Gemara is going to ask in the next line, when the Gemara raises the question about Atluz Shalaza, is going to be, are you allowed to do business with the Bnei Aza on the day of the Atluz Shalaza? So that's Rashbam a little bit different than Rashi. Let's see the Kasha of the Gemara, actually. V'ikada Amri, back in the Gemara, Baimine Rishum Malakish, Me Rabbi Chanina, Atluz Shalaza Mahu. What's the din by Atluz Shalaza? So again, the way Rashi understands the kasha, the shaila of the Gemara, is since it's very close to the city, do we assume that it's mutter, or do we assume that no, since Aza has the Avodah Zarah going on in it, and this is close to the city, it's too close, we assume that the Avodah Zarah even extends to this area of Atluza Shalaza, the area of the meat market outside of Aza. The way Rashbam understands the Gemara shaila is that no, not that the Avodah Zarah is in Aza, and we're asking about doing business in the Atluza Shalaza, the Avodah Zarah is Atluza Shalaza, and we're asking about doing business in Aza at the time of the meat market. On both of those pshatim, Tosos rejects both. Tosos goes further. He says, "V'kasha la Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan ala perushim." The im ha'ovid kolchavim eno chashuv kimo ha'komer lo nechush lo demei avodus kolchavim biad ovid kolchavim bein shiya ovid kolchavim mishuk ha'avodus kolchavim bein sheino mishuk ha'avodus kolchavim. He says if the guy that you're doing business with happens to not be an important figure in the worship of that avodah zarah, then it shouldn't really matter in terms of doing certain kinds of business, in terms of worrying about taking his money when it comes to the fact that that there's an avodah zarah nearby. Lekach pirushri demayri hacha b'shuk sha'osin l'sheim avodas kochavim v'lo yom ayid hu l'zeh yesh lachush l'dmei avodas kochavim b'yad ovid kochavim b'tocha. We're not talking about a yom ayid. We're talking about a shuk that was established for the sake of the avodah zarah. So then you have to worry about every cent, every bit of money that happens to be in that shuk, regardless of who it's coming from, because the whole shuk was established the shem in avodah zarah. But anyway, back to the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know atluza shalaza mahu. So let's assume, like Rashi, that we'll assume that there was an avodah zarah in Aza and it was a yom ayid in Aza. Can you do business with the people immediately outside of Aza? Samalei lo halachta v'tzur miyamecha v'ri'isa yisrael v'ovid chavim sheshavsu shtei kederos v'agavi kira achas v'lo chashulem chachamim. Didn't you ever go to the city of Tzur and see that there was a Jew and a non-Jew that would put two pots on top of a stove and the Chachamim weren't worried about anything? So what does that mean, the Chachamim weren't worried about anything? It means that there was something that theoretically you could have worried about and yet the Chachamim were not worried about it. So the Gemara is going to assume what that means at first is that you could have worried about, well, not at first, the Gemara will establish that somehow this is a raya to doing business with an area right outside of a city that's celebrating Yom Ayin. How is this at all a raya? Because both cases involve close proximity and not worrying about the negative influencing the positive, even though they're in close proximity to each other. When I'm talking about doing business with regular people right outside of the city of an Avodah Zarah, the issue is, do I have to worry that the city of Avodah Zarah somehow influenced the people right outside of it? So we're bringing a raya from two pots, one that's being cooked by a guy and one being cooked by a Jew. Do you have to worry that in some way the pot being cooked by the guy is influencing the pot cooked by a Jew? We see the Chacham were not worried about it. The Mela Hu Adin, they're not going to be worried about the Atluza Shalaza, about the area right outside of the city. So what does it mean? What particular issue could have come up with the two pots, though? Milo Chashulem Chachamim, what is it that the Chacham were not concerned about that they could have or should have been concerned about? So, possibility number one, Amar Abaye, Mishum Basar Nevela, maybe you want to say Mishum Basar Nevela, that you're worried that Nevela, that the guy is cooking, ended up in the Jew's pot. He says, Lo Amrinan. We're not going to say that. Dilma Mahadar Ape Yisrael Achore, that maybe the Jew turned his head away for a moment, Vishadi Ovid Kochav Nevela B'Kedera. And at the moment that the Jew turned his head, the guy threw a piece of nevela into the Jew's pot. So that's Abaye's suggestion. Lo chashalem chachavim is the chacham could have been concerned that the Jew might have turned his head, and while he turned his head, the guy stuck a piece of nevela into the Jewish pot, and therefore it's not kosher. But lo chashalem chacham, the chacham weren't concerned about it, even though the two pots were in such close proximity to each other. So says Gemara, but if that's the case, what's the raya to us? The kavasa hachanami lo chashalem chacham mishum demei avodas kochavim. Then over here, the application to our case is that we would not assume that the money of avodah zara that's going on inside of the city somehow makes its way outside of the city and would be a violation of l'yidbak biyadcha mu'uma, of having any association with money related to avodah zara. So if that's the lo chashalem chacham. So Abaye says that's the raya that we try to bring about the atluza shalaza. You ask whether doing business with the people right outside of the city of an avodah zara is a problem. So I tell you the case of the pots, of the Jewish pot and the non-Jewish pot, where the chacham were not worried, even though they were in such close proximity to each other, they weren't worried a piece of nevela went from the non-Jew to the Jew, that it somehow infiltrated into the Jewish pot. So the same thing over here, I'm not worried that the money of the avodah zara infiltrated the area right outside of the city. Now a couple of things before we go on. That the Gemara says we're not worried, Dilma Mahadar Ape Yisrael, that maybe the Jew turned his face, and while he did that, the non-Jew stuck the nevela into the pot. Now, what if the Jew, in fact, did turn his face? Do we then worry that the non-Jew stuck the nevela inside the pot? Meaning the Gemara makes it sound that we're not worried that the Jew looked away. But what if we know that the Jew looked away? Do we then have to worry that the non-Jew messed around with it? So if you look at Tosfos, if you look at Tosos, the top Tosos, first of all, Dilma Mahadu Yisrael Ape Vim Tomar Maishna Mishari Surim Dialma Deshari Abiyotze V'Nichnas. Tosos' question assumes an answer to that question. Tosos asks, why should this be any different than every other halacha where a Yotze V'Nichnas is good enough, where it's not a matter of trusting the guy, but you have a Jew that comes in every once in a while and he doesn't have to be looking 100% of the time and keeping, you know, like looking, watching the guy like a hawk. No, you have a Yotze V'Nichnas, and that's going to be good enough, right? So what's Tosos assuming? Tosos is assuming that when the Gemara says Dilma Mahadrape, that we're not worried the Jew might have turned his head. Tosfos is assuming, but if the Jew did turn his head, then you have a problem. And therefore he asks, so why should he have a problem just because the Jew looked away for a little bit? By every other halacha, we assume that Yotzei V'Nichnas is just fine, that you don't have a problem just because the Jew looked away. So answers Tosfos, Yeshlomer, Dahadish Harin B'Yalma Yotzei V'Nichnas, Hainu Hecha Dinitfas Kiganav Imatsu Yisrael V'Tavale Ladina. When do we say Yotzei V'Nichnas is good enough? That's if it's a case where if the guy were to be caught red-handed, it would be very embarrassing for him, and it would be something that would be evident that he did something wrong. That if I were to go in, I would chap him, and he'd look like a ganav, and I can go and I can sue him. So then you could say that a Yotzei V'Nichnas is good enough. He's not going to risk it. But over here, if I catch him with the spoon of nevela in my pot, so he's going to say, look, I'm doing you a favor, I'm just stirring your pot because I thought I was afraid it was going to burn. And what am I going to say? I'm going to sue him for that. He doesn't know any better, or he could say he doesn't know any better. It's not going to be so embarrassing for him to be caught. In that type of situation where he has nothing to be afraid of when you're not looking, so you have to be looking 100% of the time. Inami, hachamari betavshil achsanai delomirtas minei. Or we could be talking about someone where it's not that he's the cook in your establishment, or you know, you're the balabas and he happens to be a guest. You both happen to be guests, and he has no reason to fear you. You're nobody to him. You're not somebody that he has to worry about in terms of his job or anything of that nature. So that's why you have to be looking constantly. But Tosfos does make that assumption that you do have to be looking constantly. Second issue, Tosfos also points out that the guy puts a nevela inside that pot while you're not looking. Says Tosfos, Pirush Ri Shadi Basar Kchusha Shalom. V'shakil basar shmeina kedei laharviach. That when we say that he might have put nevela in, it has to be talking about a case where he replaced meat that was already in the pot. He saw that you had a really good piece of meat. You had a first cut piece of meat in that pot. He happens to have a third cut piece of meat. So what did he do? He grabbed your first cut piece of meat and replaced it so that it shouldn't look bad with his third cut piece of meat, kidei larviach, so that he could end up with something better. But if stam just to make your life miserable, just to make you violate an issur, that we're not worried he's going to do. Just stam to lahachis, to put a piece of nevela into your pot, we're not worried. Even if you did look away and you even walked out of the house and for a couple of hours, we're not worried about that. We're not worried that he's just going to stick non-kosher food in your pot if he has nothing to gain from it. And therefore, Tosla says in at the end. That's why we could put up a chalent on Friday afternoon and go run errands, and who's in the house? Only the non-Jewish help is in the house, and we don't worry that maybe she stuck something in there in the chalent, because she wouldn't stick something in the chalent just time to stick something in the chalent. If she saw that the meat in the chalent was so delicious and was so expensive and she could never afford such meat and she wanted to replace with cheaper meat, okay, then there's what to be concerned about. But stam, where she doesn't have her own pot that she's cooking anyway, and there's nothing really to be gained anyhow, so we don't assume that she's just going to put something in there just to make life miserable. That's what Tosfos assumes. Now, Rashi seems to not hold that way. Rashi says Rashi seemed to assume in Dibur HaMashkel Rava, right? If you look, Rava Amar, Hailo Chashu, Lav Lubasar Nevela Ka Amar Dineilif Minad De Kavasad Del Nechesh L'Dmei Avodas Kachavim, that the issue of Rava rejects this approach of Abaye, that the thing that the Chacham were not concerned about is the Nevela, because he says Del Odami De Hasam Less Hana'a La Oved Kachavim Dinishti Nevela L'Kadeira. What's the problem with saying that the issue they weren't worried about was an issue of Nevela? Is that, yeah, the reason they weren't worried about the issue of nevela was because there's no hana'ah for the Ovid Kochavim to put nevela in your pot. So Rashi seems to assume that the case is that there's no hana'ah for the Ovid Kochavim to put nevela in your pot. What you see from Rashi is that if you do look away and you do walk away, even when he's not getting hana'ah from it, it's going to be asur. It's only mutter when you look away and walk away. When you didn't look away or didn't walk away at all, right? But Rashi assumes that the case is that even though there's no hana'ah, there still is such a concern. Now in Shulchan Aruch and Yardei Asim and Kuf Yud Ches, it happens to be we paskin like Tosfos, that we're not choshesh that the guy is going to do something just because he wants to get you to do an iser. In the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, Siman Lamates, he writes, the reason we're not choshesh that the guy is going to try to get you to do an iser, even though we are choshesh that a guy is going to try to kill you, we're choshesh for all sorts of it, right? You're not allowed to get a haircut, like Gemara is going to say later, you're not allowed to get a haircut by an Ovid Avodah Zarah if there's no mirror, because we're afraid he's going to try to kill you with the scissors that he's giving you a haircut with. So that we're worried about, but that he's going to stick a little nevela in your pot, we're not worried about. So Chacham Tzvi says, yeah, because when he kills you, you'll know the difference, right? You'll realize that you're being killed. When he's trying to hurt you, you'll know that you're being hurt. He's not going to waste his energy on something that he doesn't believe is meaningful anyway, meaning he doesn't really think the kosher laws mean anything anyhow, and so he's not going to get you to violate an isra of kashrus when you're not even going to realize that you violated an isra of kashrus, because the whole point is to make your life miserable. You're not going to be any more miserable if you don't even realize what you had done. So that type of thing, that's what the Chacham Tzvi says, that's the explanation of Tosos over here. Also, the Meiri writes that this whole idea of Yisrael Vovid Chacham that have two pots next to each other is only in a bidyevit situation, but he says, L'chachila, we should keep a kedera of a guy away from a kedera of a Jew. Even though we said the Chacham weren't choshesh, it's still something that's only a bidyevet. That's the question. When is the lashon of the Gemara, does that suggest bidyevet? It says Yisrael v'avicham sheshafsu shtei kederos, that they did it. So the Meiri says, yeah, they did it. They happened to have cooked in such a way where the two pots were next to each other, but they didn't have to do it. They just did. That's what I mean. They didn't. It's not mutter to do. They did it. B'diavad, it was done. It doesn't say anything about a lashon of a lechadchila. And that's what the Rama writes in Yardei Kuf Yud Ches also, that lechadchila we should be careful not to do something like this. And the Shach explains that's only when the pots are uncovered and there's a concern that food may splatter from one pot to the other pot. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadi Hey in Yardei says that when it comes to basar b'chalav, you're allowed to keep in your fridge basar and chalav next to each other on the same shelf, right next to each other. But he says the Rama writes that yesh machmir lechatchila, and it's better to be machmir lechatchila. And again, the Shach says that's if it's uncovered. You shouldn't leave basar and chalav uncovered right next to each other. It's not a good idea to store them uncovered right next to each other. Good. So that's the chumrah of the Rama in Yaradeya. Now, this idea that we're not worried about that we're not worried that the guys took nevela and put it into your pot. So Rashi explains the reason they weren't worried about it is because Rashi says that even though it's an issur d'oraisa, if there is nevela in the pot, lo chashu lachzuke isura, that we're not going to be machzik an issur that we don't know about. If the chazaka is that there was no issur, we're not going to create a cheskas issur when there was no cheskas issur to begin with. Achzuke reyus alom chaskin on the Gemara in Chulin. Dafnun Vav says that we don't create reyusas when there's no reason to create a reyusa. Now, the Rama in Yerodeh applies this to a very practical case. The Rama in Yerodeh in Siman Sadi Heis of Gimel says, let's say you find a milchig dish amongst your fleshi kelim. So should you worry that the milchig dish was washed with the fleshi kelim in a way that would trafe up the milchig dish? So the Rama says, no, you don't have to worry about that. If you just found a clean milchig dish amongst your fleshi kelim, achzukei reyus olam mechaskinan. We don't create a cheskas issur. You don't know how this milchig dish, maybe it was washed together with pyre of things, maybe it was, you have no idea. Maybe it was washed with cold water or water that wasn't hot enough to transfer time. Maybe there was a pogame. There could have been a million different heterim or ways that it maybe was washed in the milchig sink and someone just put it in the wrong cabinet afterwards. You have no idea how it ended up there. We're not going to create a cheskas issur. Chzuki issur lo mechaskinan. Finally, let's go weiter in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, again, we wanted to know what was it that the Chachamim were not concerned about when the pot of the Jew and the pot of the non-Jew were used in proximity to each other. So Abaye says they weren't concerned that the non-Jew is going to stick nevela into your pot. Rava Amar Mailo Chashalem Chachamim Mishum Bishulei of the Chachamim. That no, what they weren't worried about, meaning the thing that you might have been concerned about is bishul akum, and that's what we're saying they weren't worried about. And the application over here would be that the chacham were not worried that the guy would be shayich to what's going on inside of the city, and he's therefore going to be related to the avodah zarah that's going on inside of the city. The same way, we're not worried about the guy who has the pot next to your pot is going to start cooking in your pot. Rabba bar Ula Amar, lo chashalem chachamim mishum tzinora. No, lo chashalem chachamim means that we're not worried about something splattering from one place to the other, from one pot to the other. It's not that he's going to be kavana, take nevela and put it into your pot. It's not that he's going to do bishul akum. As Rashi points out, to be concerned for bishul akum in this case is very, very difficult, because we assume that if the Jew puts the pot on the fire, so then you're not going to be worried about bishul akum anyway. So what's the lo chashalem chachamim mishum tzinora, that it's that something would splatter from one place to the other. So over here as well, the Chacham were not worried about lifnei idehen, about the 3 days prior to the Yom Ayid, that's going to have a spillover effect into the Yom Ayid. Okay. The if you look at Rashi in the last skinny line, he says he explains v'rach lefnei idein hu deshari v'achikamar lo chashalem chacham l'shem nitzat tzinor mitoch kederas ovi kuchavim l'toch kederas Yisrael hol v'isr kalhu. We're not worried that some of the food from the non-Jewish pot is going to make its way into the Jewish pot. Why are we not worried about that? Because it's an isr kal. It's a very light isr anyway. Why is it a light isr? Chadu delo shri. First of all, it's very uncommon that something like that would happen. And even if it is shchiach, how much is actually going to make it over? It's not going to spill over the whole thing by accident. It's going to have to be a little bit, drops, a little drop comes splattering into your pot. So that's going to be batel anyway.
So Hachanami over here as well. Lo chashu li'isru chutzala shel b'nei Aza va'afal pi shesmucha lo mamish. We're not worried about the area right outside of Aza, even though it's close to Aza, because it's not likely that the money made its way from one place to the other. And even if it did, it's not likely that you're dealing with that money. It's batal barov. The money that made it over might be in someone else's business, but that's probably not likely the money that you're doing business with right now. Fine. The Mishnah then asked, what about going to the city on the day of the Yom Ayah? Do you have to worry about a Maris HaAyin type of issue? So Tanur Rabban, we have a Braisa that teaches us several halachos. A Braisa that teaches us four halachos. So says the Braisa, five halachos. Ir sheyesh pavels chavim asul likanis l'tocha. A city that has a vodazar, you're not allowed to enter the city. Lo mitocha li'ar acheres div Rameir, nor from that city to another city. That's Rameir shita. V'cham mamrim kol zman sh'aderech miyuchedes lo samakum asur. Ein aderech miyuchedes lo samakum mutar. The chacham say like our Mishnah, that whenever the road that you take only goes to that city and doesn't go anywhere else, that's where it's going to be asur, because it's going to look like you're going to be over to Vodazara. But if the road has other stops and goes to other cities as well, it's going to be mutter. It's not going to look like you're doing Avodazara. Issue number two, halacha number two. Yashav lo kot b'fnei avodaz chavim lo yishchav yitlenim b'fnei shenir kimishtachav lo avodaz chavim. If you have a splinter stuck in your foot and you happen to be right in front of an Avodazara, don't bend down to take out the splinter while you're right in front of the Avodazara, because it's going to look like you're bowing to the Avodazara. V'imeno nira mutter, but if it doesn't appear that way, it's mutter. The Gemara will explain what v'imeno nira means. Halacha number three, nispazul lo ma'osu b'fnei avodaz chavim. If your money got scattered in front of an avodah zarah, lo yishchav yitlam mipnei shenir kemishtach v'avodah chavim. Don't bend down and pick up your money from in front of the avodah zarah, because it's just going to look like you're being mishtachav to the avodah zarah. V'imeino nira, but if it's ainu nira, then mutter, then it's going to be okay to collect your money. Halacha number four, mayan amoshech l'fnei avodah chavim. If there's a spring of water that goes right in front of an avodah zarah, lo yishchav yishtem mipnei shenir kemishtachav v'avodah chavim. Don't bend down to drink, because then it's going to look like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. V'meinu nireh mutter, but if it doesn't look that way, then it's mutter. And halacha number five, partzufos hamekalchin mayim lekrachin lo yaniach piv al piyam v'yishtem imreshenir kamin nashek l'avodas kochavim. That if you have a statue that has water flowing out of its mouth, it's a fountain statue like you see sometimes, and the water flows out of its mouth. Don't put your mouth over the mouth of the statue, because it's going to look like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah. I'm sorry, there are six halachas. Halacha number six, Kayotze Bo, is derived from halacha number five, or is similar to halacha number five, not derived from it. Lo yaniach piv al silon v'yishtem imnei asakana. In general, don't put your mouth on a pipe that's attached to the ground, because that's just dangerous. Nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, but if you drink water from a pipe that's attached to the ground, there could be leeches, there could be all sorts of things in there, so you don't want to put your mouth directly on the pipe. That's going to be something that's dangerous. In the Hagos Hashri, Masechus Brachos, he writes in the name of the Ozerua that if someone is davening, Uba connect a guy, V'yeshal Shesi Va'arev, and a guy walks by with a big cross on him, a Shesi Va'arev, so Al Yishtachve B'modim. Says then you should skip the bowing by modim. When you say modim, stay upright, based on this Gemara, that even though your kavanah is clearly the Shem Shemayim, you have no intention whatsoever of the Avodah Zarah, you never bow in front of an Avodah Zarah, even if the bowing is completely unrelated to the Avodah Zarah. It's just not something that we do. So anyway, my Eino Nira, what does it mean, Eino Nira, that it's okay if it's Eino Nira? See, Ilei Medelo Mischazi, if it's that no one's going to see it, and therefore it's okay, V'amar Rav Yudam Rav, Kol Makom Shal, but we know that anything that's asr mishamaris ha'ayin is asr even in private, even when nobody is looking. So the issue is a maris ha'ayin issue, so it's going to be asr even when nobody is looking. No, what it means to say is it doesn't look like you're bowing to the Avodah Zarah. That's the situation, that if it's done in such a way where it's very clear that you're removing a splinter or collecting your money or whatever else it might be that you're doing, and it doesn't look like you're being then it's going to be mutter. Why did the Brice have to tell me all these halachos of the splinter and the money and right all these different and the water, right, all these different halachos? It's tzricha. It needed all of them. Ditana Kotz hadn't only taught me the case of the splinter, Mishum de Efshal Mezel Kamei Mishkalei. I would say, yeah, the case of the splinter is because you could go somewhere else and remove the splinter. What do you have to do it right there for? Avamos, the lo Efshari Malov. What am I supposed to do with the money? The money isn't somewhere else. If I go 10 feet over, the money's not going to be there. So I would think I don't have to I don't have to pass up the opportunity to pick up my money. Vitana ma'os de mamona, aval kotz de tzareim alone. If it would have only told me the case of the money, I would say, yeah, for money, I can't go and look like I'm bowing to an avodah zarah. But for pain, pain is worse than money. So maybe I would be allowed to. Vitana ani tarti, and if it would tell me both of those cases, mishum deleka sakana, that's because there's no danger in either one of those cases. Aval mayan dika sakana, di lo shasi mayas emalo, but by water, where I need the water because I'm thirsty, and it's sakana for me if I don't drink the water, so I might think I'm allowed to go ahead and bow in front of that. So tzricha, that's why it needs to be told otherwise. Now it's interesting, this idea of kalmakam shashcham ne'marasayin afil b'chadri chadarim seems to apply to a case where over here, there's two types of marasayin issues. One type of marasayin issue, someone's going to look at you and say, look at that good for nothing going and enjoying doing that iser, right? Is going and violating that iser. Another type of marasayin issue is a person's going to look and say, oh, that must be mutter, such a frum Jew goes into that establishment, it must be that the food there is kosher, it must be that it's mutter. Now, generally speaking, many of the achronim has basis in Rishonim assume that the rule of kalmakum shasur chachamim really only applies to marasa ayin in the sense that people are going to think it's mutter, not in the sense that people are going to be choshe that you're doing something that's usher. Yet over here, the application seems to be even on something that they think is going to be is usher, that is usher, and Rashi's explicit about that. Kol makom shasur chachamim, Rashi says, davar amutter va'asrum ibn marasa ayin sheharo eyu choshto b'dvar aveira. Right, Rashi makes it very clear that what's the issue over here? That someone who sees you is going to think you're doing an Aveira. Even that's Aser Mishum Maris Ha'ayin. So that there's a Shar Mitzvah Ba'alach over here is a major discussion on this topic, and he quotes the Stechemet, who quotes in the name of the Sefer Pa'asa Sada that Masha Asru Mishum Maris Ha'ayin Ein Atam Mishum Lo Yechshedu Oso Did Nirakilu Osa Iser. It's not that people are going to be choshed you, but rather Eli Yomar De Mutter Lasos Kain. The issue over here, he understands, is that people are going to think it's mutter to do it, and that's where we say that it's Asra Filu B'Chadre Chadarim. But if it's an issue of Chesh, then we're not worried about Chadrei Chadarim. Fine, there's also a big discussion in Yardei Asim Pei Zayin about Maris Ha'ayin on a Derabbanan. If you have Chalav Shkedim, if you have milk that comes from parv sources, it's not real milk, it's imitation milk, can you have it on the table with chicken? Because that's only a Derabbanan. So the Ramah seems to say, yeah, because even the Maris Ha'ayin over there is only a Derabbanan. Makes it sound like Maris Ha'ayin on a Derabbanan is going to be mutter. On the Raisa, it's Asher, and that's a major discussion in the Ramah and the Shach over there in Yardei Simon Pei Zayin. Not for now. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Partzupo Slomeli. Why does it have to then tell me the case? Okay, we established why we need the first three cases with the drinking of the water and with the collecting the money and the removing the splinter. Why does it also have to tell me the case of putting your mouth on the fountain that the water is coming out of the Avodah Zarah's mouth? So what does that add? Vishum Dekabayi Lemisne Kiyotzi Bala Yoniach Pival Gabi Asilon Vishum Ne'asakana. Because really, the Braisa just wanted to teach me that last halacha about not doing dangerous things like drinking from contaminated water supplies. So it wanted to come up with a segue into that halacha about the sakana. So the easiest segue was picking a halacha about drinking water straight from something using an avodah zarah case, and then it segued right into the sakana case. My sakana, what is the sakana of drinking from a pipe that's attached to the ground? Aluka. The sakana is that it's a leech that might be in there that we're worried about. Now, Tosa says, you know, the Gemara could have said that the additional chiddush of the Partzufos case is that you're not bowing. You're doing something that's not as bad as bowing. You're putting your mouth on it. You're kissing it. So kissing an avodah zarah is usser, but it's not as usser as bowing. But Tosa says, yeah, but since both are in Isra Dalraisa, the Gemara doesn't think that's enough of a new chiddush that we're going to say, oh, that's the whole chiddush over there, that it's even usser to kiss it. Of course it's usser to... kissing is also an Isra Dalraisa to an avodah zarah, and therefore we'll assume, even though we know that Hishtachava'a is a greater iser, we're going to assume that they're on par with each other for the sake of this halacha. Tanu Rabbanan lo yishta adam mayim lo min haharos v'lo min ha'agamim. A person should not drink water from rivers and from marshes, lo b'piv v'lo b'yado achas, not straight with your mouth, nor using one hand to lap up the water. Rashi says, but two hands are okay. It's only one hand that's a problem, because when you're drinking with one hand, the water stays in your hand for such a short time that there's no way you have time to examine it. You're just shoving it into your mouth. With two hands, you could look at the water. When you cup it in your hands, you could look at the water before you put it in your mouth, so we're not as concerned. If you do drink like that, so you have your own blood is on your head, because it's dangerous. My sakana, what exactly is the danger? Sakana saluka, it's a danger of a leech. This is the right, Rabbi Chanina, habalaya nima shalmayim. If a person swallows a water leech, mutalachim locham b'shabbos, we're allowed to warm up water for him on Shabbos for a refuah purpose. And it happened once that someone swallowed a water leech, and Rabbi Nechemiah allowed them to warm up water on Shabbos. And while the water was being warmed up, it was so dangerous that while the water was being warmed up, they were afraid he was going to die in the interim. So they had him drink some vinegar just to hold him over. That was like a temporary refuah to hold him over until they could heat up the water. So you see that it's taka a very dangerous thing to drink water that's contaminated. Amar Avidi Bar Avin, Hayman Debala Zibora. If a person swallows a hornet, Michya Lochai, he's not going to survive. Miu Lishaki Reviyasta Dechal Hashem, because they should give him a revius of strong vinegar. Efshe Dechai Porta Ad Demavkin Abese. It may buy him some time, so at least he could speak to his family before he dies. But he's never going to live. Tanur Abanan Lo Yishta Adam Mayim Balayla. A person should not drink water at night. Vim Shasa Damo Barosha Mnei Sakana. If he does drink water at night, then his own blood is on his head, because it's a very dangerous thing to do. My sakana, what's the sakana involved? Sakana's shavriri. It's a sakana of shavriri. What in the world is shavriri? Rashi says, shade hamamuna amaka sanverim. It is the shade, it is the demon that afflicts a person with blindness. So that's what we're worried about when you drink water at night, that there's some sort of demon that's out there that's going to cause you to become blind. Vimtsachi maitakante, let's say you did drink the water at night, so then what can you do in order to defeat this demon? Say iika achrina bade, if you have someone else in the house with you, litarye vele malay tsachina maya. If you have someone else in the house with you, just wake him up and say, I'm thirsty for water. And as soon as the demon hears that there's somebody else there with you, he's going to run away. The ilo, and if there's no one else in the house with you, make it sound like there's someone else in the house with you. Nekarkesh, he's blind after all, this demon, right? Nekarkesh b'nachtama achatzva. Just start rattling the cover of the pot on the pot itself, so it's going to just make a lot of noise, and the noise is going to scare him away. V'neima ilunafshe, and say to yourself, Plani bar planasya amrlach imech, that Ploni ben Ploni, your mother said to you, is daher, always be careful, mishavriri, biriri, riri, yari, ri, and keep taking away another letter from his name as you keep going. He's going to get so frightened that you're totally erasing him that he's just going to completely run away. It's like the opposite of the nanach nachma, right? So he's going to completely run away. Bekasi chivri, in white cups. So in order to defeat that demon, that's how you have to avoid it if taka person did drink water at night. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah.